Welcome to the Global Development Institute podcast. Based at the University of Manchester, we're Europe's largest research and teaching institute addressing poverty and inequality. Each episode, we'll bring you the latest thinking, insights, and debate in development studies.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Selimid Ali. I'm a second year student at the HCRI, the Humanitarian Conflict Response Institute. I'm doing international disaster management and humanitarian response. And I'm a member of the One World Together Students Union Society. I'm the treasurer, and I'm also a member of the youth board of One World Together. And welcome everyone. We're so excited to be here today with author and co-founder of the New Citizenship Project, John Alexander.
Hello.
And Nikki Banks and Chibwe Masabo Henry, co-founders of exciting new social enterprise One World Together. Nikki and Chibwe are also both lecturers, Nicola here at the Global Development Institute and Chibwe at Queen Mary University, London. Well, everybody, welcome again. Thank you for doing this.
Hi, thank you, Salim.
Are you not a lecturer guest? I feel like for all of this.
Well, you're not a lecturer? Go on. We're here today to talk about the role of citizens, the power that each one of us can have in an unequal world, if we come together, create and collaborate in ways that are meaningful to us. John, can you tell us a bit about the citizen story? How does it differ to the roles that we've been conditioned to play in society and economy, and what do we need to do to unleash it?
I would love to.
Thank you for having me. So the book I wrote, Citizens, Why the Key to Fixing Everything is All of Us, is the subtitle, which is very unambitious. But what I was really trying to do in writing the book was offer a way of seeing the moment in time we're living in through the lens of what I call stories. And I think through three stories, really. I talk about the subject story, the consumer story, and the citizen story. And like, without wishing, we'll come back into more of the nuance of this, but as a very brief introduction, you can think of that as a kind of historical shift over the last century or so. So end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th, we're something like subjects. The right thing for us to do is to keep our heads down, do as we're told, because the God-given few who run society know best, and they'll lead us to the best outcomes for society as a whole, which obviously was always flawed and horrible in so many ways, but kind of held for a very long time. And then end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th, that kind of fell apart. Out of the two world wars in the middle of the 20th century, we constructed a different kind of story, what I call the consumer story. And the logic of that story is the right thing to do is to choose the best option for you from those that are offered, to pursue your own self-interest on the basis that that self-interest will add up to collective interest. And to your question about like what roles are we in and what's conditioning us, that is the story that shapes so much of our world today, whether it's like dating apps where you flip between choosing who to go on a date with, right? Like through to councils sending you letters about their customer services, through to voting, which has become in elections, which has become an act of like identifying what's in your greatest self-interest, through even to charity, which is like what's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck in so many ways. And what I think, what I'm saying, you know, what I'm arguing is that just as the subject story fell apart before, the consumer story is falling apart now because that logic just can't work. And what we are stepping into, what so many ways, and I think One World Together is part of, I think that the courses that I'm understanding that you're doing are part of, is seeing through a different lens that says, actually, how do we tap into the ideas and energy and resources of everyone? How do we, instead of a logic of do as you're told and the God-given few will do it, or self-interest or perhaps collective interest, a logic that says, actually, all of us are smarter than any of us. And if we get everyone involved, if we get everyone on the pitch, that's what will work. And so that's the story, that's the role that like a participant in shaping the world, not just a consumer, a self-interest-driven consumer, that I think is really important.
Yeah, I had this one moment back in Turkey where one of my relatives asked if I wanted to be the sheep or
the shepherd.
The shepherd, yeah. So, yeah, well, it's fantastic. It's an inspiring call to action to us all to get involved and do more citizening, I'd say. Well, Nikki and Chibwe, you've just launched One World Together here in the UK to provide more equitable, impactful funding to communities around the world
as well as to offer a more engaged form of support for global development. Can you tell us a bit about this, please?
Sure. Thank you, Selim. So Chibwe and I came together to start One World Together as people that have been both researching and working in the sector for many years. We find ourselves at a time where everyone knows that existing systems of funding for global development are broken. all of the money, the power, the resources are held in the global north amongst the largest organizations. Where money reaches the most important, impactful level at the community level, the communities that are fighting the daily challenges of poverty, inequality, that funding reaches them on terms that might help them to firefight, but it rarely helps them to get ahead. I'd done some research that revealed the power and the volume of funds that the UK public gave to global development charities, on average £2 billion a year. But all of that money is going to the biggest organisations, which is a very expensive way to do charity, to support community development, which is, after all, what we want. So as sort of someone outside the system, we decided that actually what we don't need to do is tweak what's already not working, that by coming together, we can build, we can vision first, and then we can build an alternative system of funding that completely changes things. So we have a very simple but transformative premise, which is just imagine if we can get even a small proportion of that £2 billion a year directly to communities to spend how they want. Just think how that can help them move from firefighting to social justice, to building strong, thriving communities. So that's what we've set out to do by building a new affordable wave of change that everyone can come together to sort of fight for and vision a better future.
Perfect. Well, passing it over to Chibwe, do you want to tell us a bit more about our global citizens and how you will activate that citizenship in our community space?
Sure. Thank you, Salim. So as Nikki says, we really are the global citizens and we have the power, therefore, to transform and shift the system to ensure that funding reaches the organizations that are closest to the community, to the issue, together. But we can do it on our own. So as One World Together, we ask our global citizens to do two things. The first one is to sign up as a global citizen, to join our movement by paying a minimum amount, £5 a year, towards building our movement, investing in our movement, and supporting our operational costs. Then the second thing we ask our global citizens to do is to sign up for an affordable regular contribution to our Solidarity Fund. Our Solidarity Fund enables us to pull all these contributions together and send every penny to our partners on a long-term, unrestricted, predictable basis. So we're very, very proud that we're able to offer an alternative to how funding is done within the system and hopefully be a leverage point. We've been playing with leverage points, but be a leverage point in the system that enables us to shift the dial towards transforming it to how we feel and believe philanthropy and international development should be. So the second part of, in how One World Together is working to activate our global citizenship is to launch a community platform, a digital community platform that will enable our partners to share their stories in an authentic, genuine, I don't know how to say this, like I've worked in the sector, I want you to get my point, yeah? I've worked in the sector for so long and seen how fundraising videos are made where you try to sell the story of your poverty because if you don't sell it in a certain way, you won't get funding. Or you try to report in a certain way because if you don't report a certain way that ticks a certain box, then you don't get funding or you get a bad report and the next funder will be like, nah, we won't fund you. So we have created a space where we will enable and enhance our partners' voices in how they tell their story. They don't have to fit in a box. They can just be who they are and show their authenticness and genuineness of their context and the impact of the funding that the global citizens are able to provide and support them.
Well, you've mentioned many things, and I would like to also talk about our the Student Union Society back in Manchester. So we planned to have a student society because we didn't think of One World Together as just as something that is a new way of funding, basically. We wanted this to be a movement. And for that, we thought having a student society and making people aware of the disparities in the funding system in the global development sector would be the best way to kind of tackle these issues that both, like everyone mentioned. And as a member of the Student Union Society of Formal Together, what we do is we have weekly meetings and events where members and also committee members, we all join what we do. Let's say we have storyboards where we create, you know, reels, Instagram reels videos. We have, you know, advert plans, like fundraising, like we talk about those things. And we also develop our skills and how we could actually make these kind of events real. And in a way, it's very different from other societies. And speaking from experience, I've been in lots of societies in my first year, and I can say that the committee board and the members, there's a huge difference. Like, it's not like the members can go to the community members and say, you know, we want this event. Like, we just want to have, let's say, we want to go to a restaurant together. They would be, okay, I need to speak to the committee members. We have to do this. But in One World Together, we're joined together. It's very inclusive. It's not something that is, you know, difficult to get your point across. So I guess that's what makes our student union One World Together society, basically.
Yeah, I love that, because ever since we started One World Together, it's been a collective good. It's been something that's about the movement and the power, and we've built it together. So we've always been very kind of hinging around the idea of kind of generating and nurturing a new generation of supporters of global development. Young people who are coming into a world where the systems already don't work can now play a role in creating an entire new system of not giving for global development, because it's more than that. It's about supporting, it's about connecting, it's about conversing, it's about respecting. So it's been such a joy to see first the youth board form, then the Student Union Society here at Manchester flourish. And hopefully this time next year, we will have more SU societies and the wave of change will grow. That's the plan. And
yeah, hopefully. And well, coming back to you, John, I know we've talked a lot, but can you reflect a bit through your subject, consumer citizen framing, and how One World Together differs from the broader charity system in UK society? Like, which framing has the UK charity sector historically and currently activated and encouraged among the UK public?
No, I think it's really good. I mean, one of the things I love about this set of ideas that I play with, and I often do think of it as playing with it more than kind of working with it, and I think that's because that's a kind of creative way of being and thinking. But is you could hold this subject consumer citizen thing up to almost anything, and it helps you distinguish some of the dynamics that are going on. We play it as a game in our team at the New Citizenship Project sometimes. Just pick something. We did one on the BBC the other day. We were like, the BBC was created in the subject era to inform, educate, and entertain the proms. And it really struggles in a consumer era, because there are so many models for creating content for consumers, right? Like, and you see the BBC get torn apart, like on Netflix and Disney Plus, and then it's like, what if that entered the citizen era, and you'd be like, oh, cool, like we had this thing of like, what if it became not the BBC but the MBC, the Movement for British Culture? And like everyone was co-creating, and it was like, we got very excited. But coming back to your question, so you can play the same game, I think, quite helpfully with the concept of charity. Like, and charity, the language of it actually sort of is quite deeply embedded in the subject story, I think. It's quite a kind of paternalistic thing. It's an idea of like, we who have things will do right by the little people. And too much charity still operates in that model, actually. Hasn't even come into the consumer story even. It's still in this thing of we know best and we will do unto these people. And many of the kind of the reporting structures and so on that I know you guys think about and talk about are symptoms of that, right? They're sort of symptoms of lack of trust in people to do the work that is most necessary, and therefore wanting to know exactly what are you going to do with this money and exactly how are you going to... And that's really problematic. Then you come into the consumer, and I think like the archetype of charity of the consumer is the effective altruism movement, right? And this idea, and I sometimes call it the change you can buy. It's like the whole logic of that space is this logic of prove to me exactly what the return on investment will be of any given donation. And it's and unless you can do that, that's just not how systemic change, changes in power, changes in systems actually work. And so this thing about like what you're trying to build and what you are building, and like I think maybe this, like One World Together, you heard it here first, is the next effective altruism movement. Like this is the citizen equivalent. And it's like, how do we, it's a space where I think you're kind of honestly and openly asking, like, how do we do this together? How do we build something at the world we actually all want to be part of and see everyone as contributors to that? Everyone is having a role in that. Everyone is having power in that, rather than, the sort of giving back logic. It's like, it's not giving back. It's actually just investing building. With one another, supporting one another, building together. And I think it's absolutely in that frame. And it's one of the reasons why I was so keen to come in.
Well, thank you, Todd. Certainly sounds like One World Together and your movement as well, citizens, like we're doing things differently. Do you think the citizen story can work at the global scale as One World Together envisions with their global citizens?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, firstly, I'd say I don't have a movement.
I would say like you've changed people's ways of thinking in a way. And
bless you, my friend. You can stay. Like, the reason I say that though, just is because what I think I'm trying to do is maybe offer a bit of language and give people confidence in a bit of language that because the word citizen is problematic, right? Like it at the moment in the consumer story, it's become a kind of legal status that you have or don't have. It's actually in many places become something you can buy, right? Like, and so I think really my contribution is more about storytelling and more about sort of language offering, such that we can hopefully try and connect up some of these movements and help them see what we're all part of. In our conversations already today, we've been talking about the Global Alliance for Communities, which is sort of almost the Global South answer to One World Together in some ways, I think. We've been talking about asset-based community development. We've been talking about... And so I guess what else to your question about the global scale is I think it absolutely is manifesting at that level. I guess what I would want to complement that with is by saying, and that depends on us also at some level kind of digging where we live, is the phrase I love. Like that thing of like the 6 feet of your street, like where you live, who you are, how you orientate there. And I think the one of the most exciting challenges of this phase, and again, why I see myself slightly outside of any given booth, is that I think what so often happens is it starts to become a contest between like local doing work locally and doing work globally, and it's like that is a false contest, right? And we need to work at all those levels. We need to be, I think, I sometimes think of it in like concentric circles diagrams. It's like I'm a citizen of Putney, I'm a citizen of London, I'm a citizen of Southeast England, I'm a citizen of England, I'm a citizen of the UK, I'm a citizen of Europe, I'm a citizen of the world, I'm a citizen of the biosphere, and I want to be in relation to all of those levels as a citizen, not as a consumer. And I can't do that all of the time at all of those levels, but I can hold that spirit, and I can choose where to invest most of my energy at any given time. So rambling on to lots of different parts.
Can I add a bit there, Stellan? Because I think it's really important to highlight there that by the concept of global, we don't just mean international, we mean here and international. So we have a partner here based in Manchester and Sheffield called Community Savers, and their entire model has been sort of inspired by a similar group of savings-led mobilization in Kenya. So they regularly have exchanges, they learn from one another. And I think what's so exciting about One World Together here in Manchester at the moment, and as we grow nationally, is we have a student union society that's kind of building that relationship with Community Savers. So tomorrow, I think there's a session at the Aquarius Community Centre where they're going to get to know each other and see how the SU Society might help them out. And if you have that building in different cities across the country, and then the community space that says, this is what we're doing in Sheffield, this is what we're doing in Manchester, this is what we're doing in Zambia, we all begin to learn, we all begin to share, and it could be so powerful.
But if I just riff off that return, there's a thing I think which is really powerful in this. The logic of working from within the citizen story is that what you're trying to do with these sorts of movements is you're trying to build something so that it can spread and pollinate and connect up and then become like mycelium, kind of, rather than in the consumer story that the ambition is always to scale, to create single behemoths. And I think that this way that you're talking about student unions popping up in universities and maybe connecting up with community level organizations and then learning going in both directions, like not just sort of learning in the north to the south, but vice versa primarily, and all of this sort of stuff, that you can sort of visualize this mycelium network kind of spreading and growing. And I think that's the model of growth and the ambition of growth that I would kind of come forward.
Get excited about.
Yeah.
And actually, we're pretty excited about that. I think even as Chief Stewart, of One World Together, we see ourselves as, and that's why we changed our titles. We're no longer directors. We see ourselves as stewards of this movement. You know, it belongs to everybody. It belongs to the global citizens. And how it grows depends on how people begin to understand what we're trying to. Sorry, I'm just recovering from a cold. So, but basically, its growth depends on people like Sally and our communities and our partners and our global citizens. It's not like a business where we're trying to sell shoes and then we try to build a store, you know, and scale up. It's more about the global citizens themselves taking the message forward and bringing other people on board.
Chipwe told me very early on in this journey that one of her favourite kind of poets, Tagore's phrase, we plant trees knowing that we'll not be the ones to sit in the shade. And that's it. It's a movement for the world and for the next generation. And we start small, but we see where
we're
go.
Just the stewards, we're just the gardeners. And then we let you grow.
Wow. Well, this has been such a fascinating conversation, and thank you for everyone for spending your time here and, you know, just giving insights. Well, can I ask each of you to share some closing thoughts, perhaps some motivation to those that are listening around how they might want to kickstart their citizen story and get involved? Nikki, would you like to start?
Oh, yes, of course. It's been a great conversation. Really amazing to hear, John, your thoughts on One World Together and to see it in the language that you've built, which is really helpful for us and what we do. So for me, it's thank you everyone for listening and for watching. And if you like what you if you like what you're hearing and you want to get excited about this new world and how you can contribute, please do join our wave of change. We are about learning, and we have this community space where we want to build conversations like this. We want to kind of really spotlight our partners and kind of move from we're pitching ourselves to fix a broken system to, wow, look what we can do. We're going to be about positivity and space, and look what we can do when we all come together. But we can't do it without you. So yes, please do take a look and join our global citizens.
Yeah.
John.
I don't mind going to John can close.
Oh, drama.
Actually, Nick is right. Our wave of change is actually a pivotal point in philanthropy, a pivotal point in our century, I would say. I know it sounds all dramatic, but it's actually one of those things that when you look back in hindsight and you see how this one tiny thread transformed the whole system. So please, if you're listening and you've enjoyed our podcast and our conversation, please come join us as a global citizen and help us spread the mycelium network. join us to spread the
come and be fungus together.
Absolutely. Why not?
No, look, I It's a joy to be here, to be part of a conversation with you guys, and to know more about what you're doing. I think, like, and so I'm just, I guess I just want to go, yes, and like be a global citizen, and be a citizen in your own community and neighborhood, find what's going on for you, find the way of contributing the workspace to you, as well as, and because there's so much, like, there's a lovely expression. So I seem to have become the mental image guy in this conversation. So I'll give you two more mental images to leave you with. The first is, I love the metaphor that citizenship is a muscle you build, not a cup you empty, right? And like, when you start to work that muscle, you start to like really want to do it more, and you start to get stronger and stronger. So fight, but also it's a muscle we're not encouraged to use. So don't be shy that, like, that, don't be afraid that the first things that you do feel small. Like, we all are trying to build this ourselves. So muscle you build, not a cup you empty. And the final one I'll leave you with, which Nikki just made me think of, is the some of the best advice I was ever given was by my driving instructor when I was 17, which is a long time ago, Sam. Not sure you were even alive, brother. But the advice he gave me was, always stare at the road you want to drive on, not at the truck you don't want to drive into. It's like stupid and facetious, but it's also pretty profound, right? Like, we need to know the truck is there, and goddamn, the truck is there, right? This time we're living in, right? But there is also road. And staring at that and building for it and insisting on it is a deeply powerful way of being in this time. And I know that's what you're all doing, you know? Super excited to be with you as part of that.
Wow. Okay, well, I guess what I could say is, stay foolish, always learn, and always try to, I guess, get up when you're down, and stay on the road, as you said. Yeah, I don't know if that was too rambling on-ish, but yeah, thank you, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.